Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Transform the world and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. whoa, pleased to have you on. I was watching
over there?
High school highlights of Jay Cutler in basketball.
Was the smoking Jay good?
Yeah.
To take a guy that won't be ready to play for at least 4 years.
What?
What?
That was
you.
I know, but
it was you
know
burping
that?
Where Rop reacted just because you reacted to him.
Oh, I was like, I didn't understand.
And there's Ian Poulter farting. All hell's breaking loose.
I didn't understand the correlation between
the
two. A guy that won't be ready to play for at least 4 years. Yeah, again, you think of Jay Cutler as not a great athlete.
But especially with the...
Excuse me. Oh, my God. Are you okay? God, there's so many drops. Love it. What were you saying?
Oh, like
Jay Cutler.
Yeah, you think of a guy like Jay Cutler and no one thinks of him as an athlete, and then you watch like a high school video of him or whatever, and you're like, oh yeah, Jay Cutler, pretty good athlete.
Yeah, he was like a Dunleavy type swingman.
Yeah.
He was really good, and he's got a lot of, you know, dunks and whatnot out there.
Oh yeah, I'm looking here at the Jay Cutler high school dunk tape.
See, he's an interesting one. It's like that dude, you know, we make fun of him or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't.
No, by the way, the more he gone from the game, the more I begin to love Jay Cutler.
Why?
He seems like a good fellow. Like that stupid show he had with his wife, they're broken up with now. But anytime like you see videos of him mic'd up, Jay Cutler,
yeah,
just,
all right.
Jay Cutler just seems like a good guy.
He's super chill. I guess somebody's like, there's something stealing all his chickens or something. Did you see that?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's
where he's doing a whole thing on his social media that.
Yeah,
he's got a chicken coop and
people
keeps taking his chickens and it's his battle against the, I don't know, fox? What steals chickens?
I think a lot
coyotes?
A lot of things steal chickens.
Is it coyotes or coyotes?
I think you can go
coyotes?
Either one. That's a tomato sort of thing. But the chickens are at the bottom rung of the food chain, my man. Like, it's just anything eats a chicken.
I eat chicken.
You don't even have to try to kill a chicken. You can just fall on a chicken and it dies.
I had chicken today.
Did you?
I did.
I did too, quite frankly. I had a little chicken and rice. It was tasty. Mm. Yeah, the high school video of Jay Cutler, kid can play in a stunning development.
Yeah, he was one of those guys, probably good at everything.
Well, and everyone too, like he kind of gets that dumb kid rep. Dude, he played at Vanderbilt. Dude, Jay Cutler's not
smart
dumb.
Guy.
Yeah, you don't go to Vandy when you've got other offers because you're a dumbass. That's like, I don't know if Vanderbilt is like Stanford. It's kind of a big deal.
Sebastian Telfer as well. I'm trying to look up his stats.
Yeah, well, he was the cover of Sports Illustrated, right?
Yeah, he was the man. But I say stats, like, I think he was just like wasn't he like playground legend?
Oh, well, I'm sure he had great stats too. But yeah, he was like they called him like the next great New York City point guard or whatever.
Well, what do we think about high school sports? You know, nobody's talking about high school sports right now because, well, COVID. And
yeah.
we're busy discussing the restart policies of the other sports, but.
No, I think there's just a lot of fear of can you even get kids back in school? I mean, honestly, I think sports and just extracurricular activities in general have just taken a huge backseat to this whole thing.
Well, sports was the big topic today, or one of the big topics today on the when Fauci and all those guys were up there testifying in before Congress.
Yeah.
Or before one of the committees. And so they were big on schools, and like Rand Paul was yelling at him about how schools aren't, like, COVID isn't spreading in schools, and so open the damn schools and this and that. But we haven't really thought about what will happen with high school sports. I think right now there's just an assumption that they're all going to be back on campus, but what about sports? Like, I don't know that they can play. Like, what would be the safest high school sport?
Tennis, golf, something like that. I mean, if you're seeing all of the challenges you have with team sports at a professional or a collegiate level, there's no testing, right? There's no bubble at the high school level. The only way that you can say that high school comes back is if you're just of the ones that say, well, they're young and who cares? Let them have it, right? Even though, you know, but every epidemiologist and every scientist is saying that is a foolish move, and that the idea that kids can't get ill from this or that it doesn't have lasting impacts is a farce. We're seeing actually a couple kids now that are in the that high school college range that have died from this. But the, outside of that, I don't know how you go about this in a safe, productive manner. And I don't know. I don't know if you are going to get some high schools that are just going to say to hell with it and we're gonna push ahead. Other ones are talking about budgetary concerns. I know there's been some schools in Washington that have just said, hey, from a financial standpoint, we can't do this. We're just canceling sports next year.
So the fall sports in Oregon are football, volleyball, boys and girls soccer, and boys and girls cross country.
Yeah. I honestly have no idea what this looks like. No clue what happens. Because, I mean, right now, right, you can't work out. There's no gyms. I guess in Oregon, there are some gyms that are open. So, but that just started. But high school facilities aren't open. So, I mean, do you get back together and practice? When does that occur? Cases rising. And again, it's probably obviously a state-to-state thing. I'm sure Texas and Florida and Arizona all thought they were going to be hunky-dory, and then this happened. So I honestly have no clue, and I would feel foolhardy if I was making any sort of projections about what high school sports would look like or if they come back in the fall. I don't even know if kids are going to be in high school full-time. So that goes back to, if you did like this hybrid model, is that okay? Can you have practice every day? Like, what are the social distancing guidelines? I have no idea. And is there going to be a uniform statewide policy? Is this going to be an OSAA sort of thing? Is it going to be a district thing? Is it going to be a school to school thing? Is the governor going to make mandates about this?
Does it make it sound more ridiculous that the pro leagues and colleges are trying to come back when we're sitting here going, how on earth is even high school going to come back? And I know that they have way more resources up at the higher levels, but I'm sitting here going, I can't even fathom high school sports right now.
Yeah,
like that does not compute.
When you think about just sports at its most raw, mm-hmm. that's high school sports, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, you go like, how on earth could you possibly do that? But when there's all that money on the line with the big boys, they're like, yeah, we're going to play it.
But its most raw, it's like, what a silly decision.
Right.
To play.
That's right. It makes you look at the pros and go, there's no way that, look, does anybody think they're going to play any of these sports? Pro? I mean, come on, dude. They're not going to play. Football's not going to happen.
See, I'm not, if there's one sport that'll find a way to plow ahead, it'll be football.
Well, they'll try, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know.
I saw a report today that said that some teams are considering flying into road games the day of the game to avoid staying at hotels.
Okay.
Well, wow. Oregon State is doing away with hotels for home games due to budgetary concerns. Look at what Cal and UCLA are staring down the pipeline. We talked yesterday about their apparel deals going away. Did you see that for UCLA and Cal, that could mean, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of a $8 to $13 million forfeiture every year of money on top of already two giant budgetary crises? So even at a big Pac-12 schools, do you have the money to keep these things going the way that you thought they were? And at this point, can we all agree that fans aren't going to happen, right? That seems pretty clear that you're not going to play with fans. And just from a financial standpoint, high school and college, the NFL and the pros, they can absorb those, right? You're talking about billionaire owners, but athletic programs at the collegiate and high school level, boy, I just don't know. I don't know what you do. They're not going to have any money.
Is Bowlesby the Big 12 guy?
He's the Big 12 guy.
He came out and said, yeah, he said there's a real possibility that when we play, not everybody plays the same number of games.
Yeah.
which is just weird. And then you just think about, well, what if you've got one team that just gets hammered by this? And
Clemson, if the
and they're
season,
like, this isn't even fair. They're trying to suit up and play, and they're like, God, half our team's got COVID. This isn't competition. This is stupid.
Yeah, well, you know, if Clemson just had to go today, they've got what, close to 40 players. I mean, and by the way, you have 40 players, and then who knows how many others have been affected. Clemson could not field a football team right now. You couldn't, and now that doesn't mean that you won't get there during the season. But if it can happen at Clemson, you know, can it happen at somewhere else in the middle of your season? And that's the other thing, is we can start sports, and I think everyone's going to attempt to start sports. But even Adam Silver came out and said, hey, even with all our restrictions in the bubble, we feel pretty good about this. But, you know, he even said that this has the ability to stop us in our tracks. Again, I point out that Florida, Arizona, and Texas were about the three most gung-ho states you could have as far as we're going to push ahead, we're getting back to normal life, and all three of them have taken a step backwards and hit pause. So
remember when DeSantis yelled at us?
Yes. You kept saying that Florida was next. And now he's closing all the beaches over the 4th of July weekend.
And all the bars.
That should be a stark, like, wake-up call to everyone that you can think everything's hunky-dory, and it can come to a screeching halt overnight.
And we're all sports fans here, but when they talk about bars, like Fauci was saying today, is like, bars are terrible. You know, that's like the worst thing. Like, bars, no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
Sports are kind of like that, depending on the sport.
Sure.
Particularly football. Well, and particularly with fans.
And well, I saw this, too, is that alcohol is a huge factor in this, not because it spreads the virus more. It makes your inhibitions go down. So all of a sudden, as you get drunker, you're not paying attention to distancing. You're touching people. You're not washing your hands.
That's why they always close. That's why they're closing early.
Yeah. Well, again, you show me any bar, any party, any sort of late gathering, was the Lake of the Ozarks or any of those beaches down there. And this is why I laugh at the idea of bringing fans back to sporting events. Yeah, we got Gene Smith out there in Flavortown, a.k.a. Columbus, who's like, well, I'm thinking maybe 40, 50,000 people. Are you telling me that 40, 50,000 people at an Ohio State football game, tailgating, standing in line, that isn't, they're going to keep their masks on and they're not going to be yelling and screaming and that they're going to follow all these sorts of guidelines? The only way that you can do this is, again, if we're just willing to say, you're young, you're healthy, you're an athlete, you'll be fine, we're pushing ahead. Unless you're okay with saying that, I don't see how it happens. And as far as the fans go, I mean, I guess you can be of the mindset of whatever, I don't care, I'm willing to roll the dice on it. But this idea of a safe way to bring large quantity of fans back, I just think that's foolish. Or a safe way to play high school, college football, or any sort of contact sport, you just have to accept the fact that it's not safe. And that doesn't mean that you can't do it. That's up for individuals and groups of people to go ahead and make that determination. But again, let's have a intellectually honest conversation.
What? Come on.
And not pretend as if, oh, we've got this thing under control and we're going to dot all our I's and cross all our T's and everyone's going to be fine.
This tees up two stories. And the first one I'm going to present to you will be next. And that is this is a seriously good conspiracy theory from someone who is quite reputable. Mm-hmm. Tossing this out about college football. Because you just mentioned it.
It's a good one.
Now, this is not some dope.
Is not Clay Travis.
Yelling and screaming. Oh, whoa. Clay Travis is a dope?
Clay Travis is a dope.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, he is.
He is a jackass.
It's not even
confirmed.
Close.
Yeah.
Confirmed dope.
This guy not. And it's interesting what he is trying to say. And we'll have that for you next.
And real quick, for the people saying that, like, the soccer leagues are playing in Europe and overseas, exactly. Because they've got their rest together. Over here, not so much. So I think that's
we started this conversation about high school.
Yes.
And that's the thing. High school is so different because they just don't have the money to test. They can't monitor all this stuff the way that the pro sports leagues can.
No. But I just that argument gets brought up a lot is, oh, look at what they're doing in Germany. Exactly. Look what they're doing in Germany to allow themselves to get back on the field. Captain us over here, we're not doing so well.
Yeah, we don't pay attention to what's happening in around the world. Like, I'm going to read you something before we go. I saw this in some of my prep work today, and I just screen grabbed it and put it in my photos, and I wanted to read it, and this is a good time to bring it up because of what you just said. I don't know why we can't just look around the world and go, oh, well, that's working.
Yeah.
Let's try something like that. This is from, I forget the, I can't give you the publication. I just screenshot it. It said, Hong Kong, with 7.5 million residents, is one of the most densely populated places on Earth.
I've seen this one.
But recorded only 6 deaths from COVID-19, despite having no lockdown and receiving nearly 350,000 travelers a day from abroad, until authorities started reducing cross-border travel on January 30th. Around half of the arrivals were from mainland China, where the virus originated. The key secret of Hong Kong's success is that the mask compliance rate during morning rush hour is 97%. The 3% who don't comply are mainly Americans and Europeans. The only thing you can do is universal masking. That's what stopped it.
It works.
And yet we don't.
We refuse.
We just don't listen.
Nope.
I mean, some of us. I mean, not everybody's refusing, but enough people are that it's screwing it up.
Fauci even said that even if we get a vaccine, he thinks that, what, a quarter to a third of us won't even take it. So that's why he said the herd immunity thing he didn't have a whole lot of faith in.
Yes, they don't trust Bill Gates and the vaccines. No. And 5G.
But someone brings up an interesting point here, and I know we're going to break, but I think this is a real good text. And when the rubber meets the road here and you got to make a decision, and he says that a red state governor canceling football is political suicide. So if you don't, that will be a very interesting one. If things keep going this way, is the governor of Alabama, Texas, Florida, Georgia, does someone have the balls to say high school? No. Not happening, because that would be a bold, bold move. And a lot of the, even in the Rust Belt, right? A lot of those small communities that live and breathe high school and college football, for someone to say that we're not going to get to do it this year. I'm not so certain, regardless of what the numbers say, if anyone's got the guts to do that.
And one other quick thought, comparing European soccer to here. Now, this could be wrong because I haven't been following very closely, but I haven't seen any reports out of Germany or England or Spain that there have been positive tests, a ton of them, since we've come back to play. We are playing the most socially distanced sport in golf, and we've already had like 7 positive tests in 3 tournaments.
They've had 5 players.
Well, total, including caddies and stuff, in 3 tournaments. And that's just golf.
Yeah.
So it's not about the sport coming back, it's about the country we're in and how the cases are going.
All right. We'll take a break. Come back, 4:17 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. We are partying here. Now we've got, what do we have in the news coming up next?
Yes, we do.
Staple of the broadcast. But first, here's that college football conspiracy theory that is being thrown out there now. Boomer Esiason does a show in New York, a very popular show on WFAN radio.
Yeah, his partner got sent to prison for a couple of years, but is now out. So some people are wondering whether or not he gets his old job back.
Oh, really? Are they going to throw him back on there?
Craig
Carton.
Yeah, he went to jail for...
He's out already?
Yeah, he's out.
Is he done?
I think he got released for the because he's a nonviolent offender and the COVID stuff. So yeah. I think they let him out. But I saw there's a media guy that sends us emails, and it was like, hey, is he coming for his job? And
Well, who's Boomer doing a show with then?
Some other guy. I forget what his name is, but it's still Boomer's show. They just have put him with a new new Isaac Rop.
Boomer is an absolute stud. Like, he's very well respected. Not known for hot takes, but he said this on his radio show. He said, he started by saying, and this is a quote, I got to be really careful here because I don't want to say that this is an accusation, which, by the way, he's about to accuse.
It's like when someone says, I don't mean to offend you, but I'm getting really, really, really ready here to piss you off.
He knows he's got to be careful, but then he just says it.
Sure.
So he says, quote, I just was thinking the other day about what is going on with the SEC teams down south, and Clemson included, who's obviously an ACC team. A lot of their players are coming down with COVID-19, oddly enough. So are they trying to herd immunity their teams? So these guys can get sick now as opposed to getting sick during the college football season, if in fact there is one. And I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't put it past any of those guys down there. I think it's going on. I honestly, the numbers coming out of like Alabama, LSU, and Clemson, all of these teams, it's too much of a coincidence. I don't think it's that crazy either. End quote.
I, look, I totally buy into this. I'm not going to be the one to say that they're doing it on purpose, but if you look at some of the teams around the country, and some aren't releasing numbers.
So that's not that hot of a take, huh?
I don't think it is. Like, you've seen some of the numbers out there, like with, like you said, Bama and Clemson. Clemson's up to like 40 people.
Clemson's at 37. I just checked it today. Clemson had a few more, and they're at 37. LSU was at 30. Alabama isn't that many. I know Texas is at 13 or was at 13.
But that's it. Wouldn't it be something if you had
That's why Oregon's not talking. They're spreading COVID like crazy.
And Oregon hasn't even said what like their policy is. Like Oregon's just kind of staying quiet and being like, "Hey, we got this. We're not going public with it." I don't think it's crazy to assume that an irresponsible coach, you can insert whoever you want there.
There you go.
I think there's plenty of them.
I don't claim to be no 36 ACT now.
Has the idea of, look, we know that at some point this is going to get us, right?
That's football, man.
We know that people are going to catch this. So why not do it right now? Get the 14 days out of the way, and then when the season comes, we're fine.
So is it?
I do not think that that is an absurd thought at all, nor would I put it past a number of college or high school coaches. Mike Gundy came out and said, "Hey, what's the problem? These guys are young and healthy. Let them get it. They'll be fine. We got to get money going through Oklahoma."
So is it that they're like, if you guys get it, you guys get it. No big thing. We'll be fine.
Or go wheeze on each
other.
Or
is it like, here, cough on him and do it now?
I'd like to believe that there's one of those. It's more like this.
Oh, hot fart fact?
Yeah.
From the Ian Poulter golf fart? Did you know somebody mentioned that on the closed caption of that, they were watching that on closed caption? Mm-hmm. It said fart.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Someone was quick on the button, was like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Fart?
Sometimes it will say inaudible.
Yeah.
It said fart.
I do enjoy it. I watch Peaky Blinders. I watch that on Netflix with the subtitles on because the accents can be a little tough.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with like Game of Thrones. It's so much is going on. And I do enjoy when they give you they tell you what sounds are happening in the background, or when they have to spell out all the curse words, or like in Game of Thrones, some of the male female scenes, they have to put in like the grunts and the moans. I always enjoy that someone had to type that out. Well played. What were we saying? Oh, this idea that it's not dangerous to young people. There's been medical experts that are talking about that, you know, if this goes ahead and it continues at this pace, this idea that young people can't get hurt by it, I think what the Dirt and Sprague were talking about it today, one of the science bros said that he thought somewhere maybe in that neighborhood of like 3 to 10 college athletes could die from this, and high school level or whatever. And so again, it goes back to
I hate it when they say stuff like that because nobody
knows. No one knows.
But why would you say that?
Because herein lies the question. If you're one of these people that are going to say they're young and it doesn't affect you and you'll be fine, how many deaths is okay? If I told you we could start college football, right, with 100 and whatever, I think it's like 156 Division I teams, and then all the lower levels, you got a couple hundred football teams going out there, thousands of kids. And if I told you that seven were going to die,
no.
Seven kids were going to die.
Wait a minute. That's not even a question. Like, you can't.
And yet you get so many people that are making this argument of they're young, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the scientists are telling us that you will get high school and you will get college athletes that will die from this. Some, whether you have sickle cell or you've got asthma, you've got a compromised immune system, the numbers bear it out that a handful of people are going to die. And I do think there are a lot of people like the lieutenant governor of Texas who came out and was like, hey, some people are going to die. At what number is it acceptable? Like, we usually get 1 to 2 to 3, depending on the year. You get a few that die during offseason conditioning in football every year. From high school to college, there's a heat stroke, there's an illness, or someone has an undiagnosed heart condition, and that happens. Where do we draw the line at COVID where you could say, I'm willing to accept this level of risk? Because there are going to be plenty of people, by the way, including athletes, parents, and coaches, that are going to have that take. So I know it sounds crazy, but there is a lot of people that are going to say it's worth the risk.
Someone texts, is it any different than the CTE conversation?
Yeah. Well, I think it is a little bit because the CTE is one of those, hey, this could have long-term repercussions and somewhere down the road. Whereas this, you're in the middle of a pandemic and we've got 100,000 people already dead.
Well, they don't have to play, right?
No, so, they don't have to.
I mean, I think the goal is zero deaths, Bob. I think that's my answer.
See, and again, but we're getting this right here. Show me the scientific evidence where young people are dying. That's fake news. No, it's not.
There have been a few.
There have been a few.
For sure. There's going to be a few of everything.
Exactly.
But I think the pushback on that is, well, again, you go back to the middle ground where it's like, how much are we going to give up in life for this?
Sure.
And
but that's
I guess
there.
It's that, up to every I guess the only thing I can say is it's up to every individual. It's up to every kid. There are a lot of guys who are not going to play in Orlando for the NBA. They're not going to play. They're giving up a lot more than college football players are.
Sure.
They're giving up a lot of money, like their livelihood. Ian Desmond came out with a great thing today. He's a baseball player, not going to play. And so I'm sure they're going to be college players that play.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question, you know, if some kid does opt to play, he's like not really worried about it. And he's like, well, you know, I'll be fine even if I do get it. Cause I think a lot of people do think that way at that age and it goes south. That's horrible.
Exactly.
But he doesn't have to play,
but there is this real notion out there where we have been told, and like you see it right here, show me the scientific evidence, fake news, that young people are not affected by this, and it's just not true. Now, I will tell you that clearly it's more dangerous to older populations, but you just got to be real careful playing loose and fast with this, hey, if young people get it, no big deal. I just think that's a really, really dangerous idea, and I'm not saying that everything needs to be canceled and you can't play any high school sports. Like you said, everyone needs to make their own decisions on it, but God, I hope we're taking it more seriously other than show me the proof. This is fake news. Young people, it doesn't matter. And then you do get into this thing, too, where you realize that if young people get in, it spreads around a campus. There are teachers, there's coaches, there's staff, there's workers, there's all those sorts of things. This idea that, oh, well, if a bunch of 20-something or 18-year-old kids get it, no big deal. You realize that it doesn't just sit with them. But I feel like a lot of times in the sports world, and this was probably the same with a lot of the bar restaurants and that sort of economy. It's like we don't want to have honest conversations because we don't like the answers, right? We don't like that this could be complex. We don't like that we might not hear what we want to hear. And at least if you have the information and you're honest about it and you understand what you're facing and you choose to plow ahead with it, at least then you're making an educated decision and saying the risk is worth it, as opposed to burying your head in the sand and saying, well, this isn't real and it can't affect me, and so I don't care. Those are two very different things, in my opinion, pushing ahead with knowledge and saying risk is worth it versus denial. Because denial is what a lot of people have been in, and here we are kind of getting rolled backwards. And on a global scale, we're kind of the laughing stock right now. We're like the one country that has fumbled this thing so bad that we're having to go backwards.
That's football, man.
The difference is you can catch COVID doing anything, says one of our texts. That's true. That would delineate it from CTE.
Yeah.
And another one says, hey, if there's a season, just wait. The big boy schools will be covering up their guys who get COVID and have them play. Because, you know, and that's not far-fetched at all. Because they could be asymptomatic.
Yeah. And by the way, anyone asking, just look up young people dead from coronavirus, and there's articles and articles and articles and articles.
Well, again, I don't know who's denying. I mean, you're always going to get people who, again, that's if you're paying attention, you know that anybody can get it. They really still don't know a lot about it. So, and that's what makes it scary is that you just don't. The numbers, the average age of this is changing rapidly.
Yes.
Because a lot of the youngs are going out, not taking it as seriously. So, I mean, we don't need to spend time talking to the dumbasses who are just in denial. Most people understand that this one is the reason this one is so scary is that we just don't know that much about it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about, and we'll get to this later because it does not bode well for sports, that when you have these asymptomatic people carrying it, they do spread it. But the, you know, if you read up about super spreaders, this is so weird because you'll get a bunch of asymptomatic people who don't spread it to anybody, but then you'll get one super spreader who is at a family reunion and all 30 of them get it.
Yeah.
And it's so scary because you don't know who is a super spreader and who is going to be asymptomatic, right? These are the things, and that doesn't bode well for sports, because if you get one kid at Clemson or Oregon or wherever who happens to be a super spreader and isn't just asymptomatic and it's no big deal, you're in trouble. Guess who all's getting COVID?
Yeah.
The whole damn team.
Yeah.
So that's why this thing can spread so fast, even though a lot of people are like, well, it's not spreading at all. Like you may have, I mean, there was a kid I was telling you about last week that is a family friend he is a friend of one of my friend's family, right?
Yeah.
He got it asymptomatic, he quarantined himself, but he hasn't spread it to anyone. Everybody he knows and came into contact with got tested. Not one of them has it.
Bizarre.
And the kid that he got it from was showing symptoms and has spread it all over the place. So this is therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
There's not everybody is going to get going to be the asymptomatic kid. And all it takes is one super spreader to get it. And for whatever reason, they're still working on why that is and why some people spread it the way they do and other people don't. That's all it takes to derail all of this.
And no one wants to be the team at the high school, collegiate, or professional level that is the first one that causes the death, right? But again, there's a risk to everything, and you can't wrap yourself in bubble wrap. And so at some point in this country and in the real near future with these fall sports, we're going to have a real honest conversation about what is and isn't worth it. And that's going to be the weird part, is this is going to go state by state, county by county, league by league. And I think when this is all said and done, you end up with a real hodgepodge. I think you, like you said, I think you get some teams play, some cancel it, some do half a season. And I just think it's going to be a real, real jumbled effort, because I do think that some people are going to determine, right or wrong, it's up for them to decide, that the risk is going to be worth it.
Speaking of kids, there is a child care facility in Lake Oswego that has now reported cases of COVID.
Amongst the kids?
First in the nation. Well, they won't say.
Oh.
They won't tell us about the kids. So we'll get to that as part of In the News coming up next. Here's Mike.
Bro. Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, running a little behind, Jason. Running a little behind. It is 4:40. We've got super cool hot sports talk coming up.
Ooh, not just regular sports talk.
More
super,
of it.
Super cool hot sports talk.
Yeah, we have entertainment news. We haven't gotten to any of our awesome entertainment news today. But that's all going to have to wait. It is June 30th, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today is Blink 182 day.
What?
They have their own day.
Do they really?
Well, that's cool.
Is it?
I guess. I mean,
loved Blink 182 growing up.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought they were good.
Adam's song and, you know, what's my...
Not so much anymore, but...
The one guy left to go chase UFOs.
I want to say this is the 182nd day of the year, which is why it's Blink 182 day, but I cannot confirm that.
What?
Because I'm not going to go count.
Look, I'm not going to take a doo-doo all over Blink 182, because I had a Blink 182 CD, the Enema of the State, I think it was.
Yeah, they were popular. Yeah.
Boy, I...
Hello there.
I'm not so certain that...
How are you?
How are you?
Not so certain
that... And I'm so sorry.
Why are they British?
Well, that song is he just sings weird in that song.
He sings with a British accent? I think they're from California. Of all the bands that would have a day, you're going to have to go way down the list for me to come up with Blink 182. Where's a Sum 41 day? Think of
on the 41st day of the year.
A random kind of pseudo punk.
That would be in February.
Where's the lit day?
Social media day as well. Only 146 new COVID cases in Oregon.
All right.
Yesterday. So there you go. Suck on that.
Yeah, except I read that that's not good.
No, that's not good, but it's under 200.
Yeah, Texas had over 7,000. Florida had over 9,000. So
yeah.
If we're going to let's compare. We're doing okay.
I just want to keep it below 200.
Yeah, below
200 is good. Because we keep having a couple of weeks, you need to be like 205, 220.
Two new deaths.
Get it back down there, huh?
The child care facility in Lake Oswego is the first in the nation to report a COVID outbreak. KinderCare in the Lake Grove neighborhood. They have seen five or more positive cases, but they're keeping it tight-lipped
on who it is, whether it's kids or workers.
They're not saying. They won't say if it's any kids, but they do say it involves people who work there and their families.
Okay.
So they will be closed for 14 days for quarantining and...
the deep clean?
The deep clean, yes.
Yeah, not just a regular clean. Got to go for the deep clean.
Yes. Damian Lillard is on the cover of NBA 2K21.
Well, he's on a third of the covers. I was a little bummed when
Wait,
I saw
who
that.
Who are the other two? Is this like when they do regional covers?
Yeah, there's going to be three cover athletes, and I didn't see the other two. They said they're going to be released.
So is this a big deal like Madden?
I don't know if it's regional. I think they said he's going to be on all the current gen consoles. So Xbox One, PlayStation 4, the Nintendo Switch. There's probably going to be a different athlete on the... They have different versions of the game. There might be one on a Legend cover. I would imagine maybe Kobe Bryant might be gracing a cover of one of them. And maybe there'll be a different athlete on the new gen consoles, which are coming out this year.
Oh, boy, I understood none of that. PS5. But I did catch Kobe Bryant.
Bottom line is, suppose there's going to be three cover athletes, but Lillard's going to be the main one. How about we go with that?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Isn't that a cool little video? They did like a funny... What do you call it? Like a trailer for the game?
Yeah, they did an ad.
Yeah, it was funny. Lillard's got a good personality. He's good on those sorts of things. Remember he did the Foot Locker commercials and, you know, that's a big deal. Although Lillard was on a different NBA video game like back in 2015, but I think this is the main video game.
Yeah, he says
that was NBA Live.
This is
so
like,
that's different?
Yeah, this is the Madden cover.
Yeah, he says he plays it all the time.
Yeah.
So do you think he plays... as himself?
I would assume so, right?
Yeah, you kind of got to, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if you're Damian Lillard, you can't play as LeBron James,
or what if
right?
What if you played against other guys and then played against yourself? Wouldn't that be weird?
It would be a little weird. Then would you be mad? Like if if animated Lillard like dominated you and like hit a three to beat you?
No, you're
not
mad about that.
Would you then be pissed about yourself?
You're like, yeah, that's about right.
That's how we do it. Look, it's a cool thing. For Lillard to get this sort of national recognition, it's a big deal. And Lillard is, I mean, look, the guy's a bona fide superstar. There is no doubt about that. But it's nice to see some of the national recognition start coming his way. No, we haven't really seen Lillard kind of reach that level where you're talking about him as a true superstar or like an MVP sort of candidate. And not that the cover of NBA 2K, makes that a reality, but you are starting to see him get the respect that comes along with being one of those truly elite players.
Clark County cases of COVID, 68 reported Monday afternoon. That does include all the stuff from the weekend. That is their second largest one-day confirmation of new cases for Clark County since May 26th. So it's not going in the right direction.
No.
826 confirmed cases up in your county. And 30 deaths.
Well, the entire state of Washington, you're not allowed to go into phase four yet. Everyone's hitting pause. Mm. But we were hoping that maybe next week that Clark County could move into phase three. And that would be like gyms and different stuff opening up. So, you know, fingers crossed. But it, everyone's numbers are going up. But hopefully it doesn't end up in a spike.
Did you ever eat at Blue Hour?
I never did.
Never got there?
I've heard of it. I mean, people talk about it. It's like one of the hippest places. But it was... I always, and maybe this is like wrong of me, but I always assumed it was one of those places that was really expensive and small portions.
Well, yeah, like it's, if you're going to be that guy, like your brother would do this.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, you know, like I totally understand that line of thinking where it's like, you know, you get this gourmet food and this chef like makes something amazing.
Yeah.
But they, you know how it's presentation and it's all, that rubs some people the wrong way. They sure. are intimidated by that, perhaps, or they just want, more of it.
Yeah, I don't mind spending... If you're spending $75 or $80 a plate, I get it. It's a night out, but...
Blue Hour was a little bit of that, a swank like that. It was in the Pearl District.
If you spend $75 and then you leave dinner and you need to go get, like, a sandwich at one of the carts, that's not going to fly.
So it's in the Pearl, been open for 20 years. I ate there a long time ago, a couple times, never... I mean, it just wasn't on my list, but it was very good. Very good.
Yeah, people rave about it. That was always one of those places when you talked about fine dining in Portland. That one always got thrown out, but never made it.
Closing after 20 years.
They just said that, I think with the he said he can't recover, I think was the quote. I'm paraphrasing. They said he can't recover from the COVID stuff.
Yeah. They're looking ahead going, this doesn't look good.
Yeah. Well, again, this goes back to, we talked about this back when restaurants were starting to open up. There was an article in, might have been USA Today, that talked about the wave of restaurant closures and business failures isn't going to come immediately. It's going to come a couple months down the road, because even when you open it back up, profit margins on a lot of these one-off restaurants are thin to begin with. And if you come back, but you can only come back at 20, maybe 30, 40% capacity, your bills stay the same. I mean, you still have to staff it. You're still paying your rent. You're still paying all those things. They said it's just it's an absolute killer with profit margins as low as they are. So as people start to open back up and rent forgiveness goes away and all that you could see an entirely new wave of foreclosures and businesses shutting down in the months to come.
Well, we have some details on what state employees were doing while you were waiting for your unemployment checks.
Oh.
And I can assure you they were not working on your unemployment checks.
Man. It is amazing that there are still people that have yet to receive any of their benefits.
We'll get to all of that, an update on that, coming up next on In the News. This is The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, one more story here on In the News, and then we'll get to the Hot 5 at 5. So we were discussing 2-3 weeks ago the idea that if you were still stuck in the unemployment loop where you couldn't get your monies, you got laid off, contact your state rep or your district rep.
Yeah, we were talking about this, a couple weeks ago where someone did that, right? They went right to the state rep and it got done like in a day.
Well, I heard it on the golf course and somebody told me that. So I figured, well, hell, I'll throw it out on the show. And if that really helps, because it helped him, then we can help some people get their monies. And I just saw this KGW story where they did a follow-up on the whole unemployment mess. And they did say that they made a list of people at the unemployment office who complained through their state or local representatives.
Yeah.
And they instantly threw them to the front of the line.
See, that's...
So that did work. Yeah. That was a thing. And we did hear from a few listeners who said that. And that is still a thing if you're still trying to get through to them.
Yeah.
Because there are that's the way to go.
Yeah, there are still people. In fact, one just texted in and said, despite all my efforts, he still hasn't heard anything back. And the nice part is if you do get in, they will pay you all your back benefits.
Yeah.
It's just that right now, obviously, you're hurting because you don't have any.
So from KGW, it says, as tens of thousands of people in Oregon waited for unemployment benefits, state workers paid to process their claims wasted hours scrolling through Instagram and Facebook at a temporary call center in Wilsonville. Desi Thonis, 32-year-old Oregon Employment Department worker, said, a lot of us were playing on our phones. I was just playing on my phone throughout the whole day. It was so stupid because we could have been working. She said managers limited workers to only a small handful of pandemic unemployment assistance applications for about 2 weeks after the program launched in Oregon on April 28th. She said, we all worked on them so fast that there weren't any left. The Oregon Unemployment Department director, the new guy, David Gerstenstein.
Oh, yeah, Gerstenstein, that guy, he's great.
Said, if true, he would be troubled to hear that state employees were on social media for hours. Yeah, shocker.
Like, hey,
that's where you just blame it on the old boss.
Yeah, you want to process anyone's claims? I can't. I got some hot Instagram memes I got to post. Sorry.
He did say that the agency intentionally started processing claims slowly to evaluate training and make sure that there were no errors. So they kind of said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. I'm sure that was overwhelming. You know, in fairness to them.
No one could have.
That's got to be overwhelming.
Exactly. What was it? How many millions of Americans? We had like 26 million Americans all filed unemployment in the span of a couple weeks.
But they totally botched it.
Yes. Again, we've said this many, many times. I don't want to be the one making decisions here. I don't want to be the one in charge. But at the same time, someone is in charge. That's your job. You need to be better at it.
So 94,000 independent contractors or hairstylists or massage therapists or yoga instructors applied to the program in Oregon. 70,000 of those still haven't been processed.
That's crazy.
And this girl who works there said she thinks a lot of the backlog could have been avoided if they were just allowed to if they just gave them the applications and just started calling them in the early days of the program, they could have got through and got it done. But she said the bosses were telling them, no, we can't do that.
I just can't imagine how frustrating that must be months and months going by and not being able to get a response.
Additionally, other unemployment workers were instructed not to answer questions about the PUA because they weren't trained on the new program. A dedicated unit separate from traditional unemployment claims handled those particular applications. The employment department did not provide a working phone number for PUA applicants to call until early June. Jeez. Boy.
Whoops. Hey, can I get that number? Yeah, no. I'd like to give it to you. Check back with me in 6 to 8 weeks.
Call up old Ron Wyden. He'll help you.
Yeah, Ron will get you dialed in. Where's Jeff Merkley when I need him?
Merk.
Where is he in his cargo pants and hard hat?
You go all the way back to his, that was his campaign, campaign ad?
It's always the one I just laugh at is that whenever they do the campaign videos, Merkley, and it's not just him, he's just the one that always sticks out. They're always in someone's garage, and they're always wearing flannel and like a work helmet. And they're just like talking to a group of people, like doing some woodworking projects. As if he's strolling the streets of Oregon looking for craftsmen to go in there and be like, hey, I'm one of you. Well, look at my flannel.
You got to relate.
Yeah. Got to be an everyman.
You know who I think looks so Oregon? Like, he's just like, if you saw him and you said, okay, what state does this guy represent?
Yeah.
You'd be like, Oregon, Blumenauer.
Yes. 100%.
I mean, he's like straight out of Central casting.
You're like, and scene.
That's our guy. I'm worn out. Those 2 hours of greatness.
Are you exhausted from the news?
I'm exhausted from doing great sports talk radio for you guys.
I can't handle anymore. You gotta tap
worn out.
Out.
I need a Gatorade and a timeout and a towel. Sit over there. All right. No, we've got 2 more hours. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next, and then more hot sports talk on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.